Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the epistle lesson from Romans chapter 3. And I would also invite you to look around, find a hymnal that is nearby, probably right in the pew rack in front of you, and open up to hymn number 555. That's easy to remember, right? 555. In this hymnal that's on page 555, they were thinking when they put this together. It's a hymn entitled, Salvation Unto Us Has Come. Hymn 555. And I'll freely admit that this hymn preaches a better sermon than I ever could. It even takes less time if you read it through. And I mean that this hymn is a treasure of the church because of the way that it describes and expresses the heart of the Christian faith. It's a prime example of how our hymns and songs both uplift and teach us. Now here's what I mean. Look at stanza or verse 1. Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us, never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. Now skip ahead to verse 9. Faith clings to Jesus' cross alone and rests in Him unceasing. And by its fruits, true faith is known, with love and hope increasing, for faith alone can justify. Works serve our neighbor and supply the proof that faith is living. There, in just a few lines of poetry, you have the gospel itself and the proper relationship between faith and works. Now let me tell you about the man who wrote these words. This hymn embodies the spirit of the Reformation era, and there's a good reason for that. The man who wrote them was a key participant in the Reformation movement, a movement that challenged the church of the Middle Ages with a return to grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone, Christ alone. The man's name was Paul Sparatus, and his story, while dramatic by our standards, was fairly typical of those who led this type of reform. Paul Sparatus became a pastor in the year 1518. And early in his ministry, he started reading some books written by this upstart German monk named Martin Luther. Those books changed the course of his life. Sparatus began vigorously emphasizing Reformation ideals in his preaching. He began to unfold for his hearers the wonders of God's love for undeserving sinners. He began teaching that people are saved from eternal punishment by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And because of this, his reward for this kind of preaching was he was forced to leave three churches in 2 years. Now, two things happened right after that. First, he got married. Secondly, he went to the University of Vienna to earn a Doctor of Theology degree. But when he preached a sermon defending marriage of the clergy, a sermon that also featured a faith alone gospel theme, the university faculty branded him a heretic, a false teacher. And then things got really bad. He was imprisoned for a 12-week period, forced to survive on bread and water. He was threatened with death by fire during the same time. However, by God's grace and the work of good political rulers, Sparatus was freed. And so he found himself getting to a place called Wittenberg, Germany, And it was there that he finally met the author of those books that had set him on this path, Martin Luther, and he became so involved in the Reformation movement, he helped Luther compile an early hymnal, and he did translation work for that hymnal, and he even wrote his own hymns, like "Salvation Unto Us Has Come." This hymn was a product of its time, certainly, a product of Spyridus's life, and more than anything, a product of the true gospel message taking root in a human heart and blossoming. You hear it all through these lyrics. For example, verse 6, "Since Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation, each Christian, therefore, may be glad and build on this foundation. Your grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Your death is now my life indeed, for you have paid my ransom." In these words, you hear someone who has finally seen the light. And yet, there was a significant personal cost Spyridus paid for seeing the light of Christ. It meant rejection from the very church that was supposed to carry this good news to the world. It meant imprisonment. It meant the threat of death itself. As extreme as that may sound, it was not unusual for people like Paul Spyridus to go through things like this as they were recovering the Bible's true message of forgiveness in Christ. In other words, the personal cost they paid for seeing the light of Jesus was worth it to them. They courageously confessed Christ regardless of consequence. So I tell you the story of Paul Spyridus in order to ask you this. What personal cost have you paid to follow Jesus? Or maybe I should take a step back from that question and ask, are you willing to pay a personal cost to follow Christ? Would you be willing to go through what Paul Spyridus went through for the sake of the true gospel of Jesus? Only you know the answer to that question. What I know is the personal cost that Jesus paid to make you his own. Here's the message that Spyridus and others like him were willing to be imprisoned and threatened and even killed for. From Romans 3, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith." Now, do you understand that phrase, propitiation by His blood? A propitiation is a payment that sets things right, a payment that renders the balance zero. Jesus made that payment for you in blood. The personal cost he paid to rescue you from destruction was huge. He left heaven to come to earth. He left glory to enter our pain. He left praise to endure mockery. He left perfection to become sin for us. He was nailed to a wooden cross. That's what sin deserved. That's what your sin deserved. That's what mine deserved. Jesus took it. He pushed you out of the way of oncoming judgment, and it slammed right into him. He's punished, you're not. You're forgiven. You're free. You have no debt to settle with God. You have no peace to make with God. He made peace with you through Jesus' payment of blood to be received how? By faith. By believing Jesus' blood payment washes your sins away, by believing that His resurrection explodes the curse of death in your life, not by how hard you work, not by how good you think you are. Paul addresses that. For by the works of law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. Levels the playing field, doesn't it? It can only be received by faith. You receive it when you believe it. One more, verse 7. Let me not doubt, but truly see your word cannot be broken. Your call rings out, come unto me. No falsehood have you spoken. Baptized into your precious name, my faith cannot be put to shame, and I shall never perish. Do you know how dearly you are loved? If you have any doubts, look at the personal cost Jesus paid to gain you and keep you. Or, as Paul Sporatus once wrote, come to the cross, trust Christ, and live. Let us pray. All blessing, honor, thanks, and praise to Father, Son, and Spirit, the God who saved us by His grace. All glory to His merit. O triune God in heaven above, You have revealed Your saving love, Your blessed name we hallow. Amen.